Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Thank you. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
With that.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Krishna Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
His divine grace, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj, Prabhupada ki, Ananta Kota Vaishnavindi ki, Iskand Founder Acharya, His divine grace, Srila Prabhupada ki, Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur ki, Fame Zigaho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda, Advaita Gadadhar Shri Goswami Gauri Bhakta Vindi ki, Chakshu unmeditam nena tasmai shri gurave namaha mukam karoti vachalam pangum langayate ganim kripatam aham vande shri nandinatan. This just doesn't stay. Why don't you if you do it like this and make it less heavy, yes, and then you move it over here. Yes, okay. No, you gotta move it closer. Over here. Okay. How is this working? Translation tonight? Do we have to organize it, or is it already organized? It's organized. Okay. Mexico. This evening I was going to speak a little bit, not a lot, but a little bit about some experiences I had this year in Mayapur. I wanted to share them with you. I've been sharing them with a lot of devotees because in the course of my travels I feel that they're very relevant to all the lives of the devotees. Some of you, I think, were there in Mayapur this year and took part in our kirtans. These kirtans gave me some very nice realizations, especially since they were performed in the association of many, many elevated godbrothers, and helped me to appreciate even more the need to chant in the association of like-minded devotees who are very eager to enter deeply into understanding the holy name and to relish the taste which is available for those who are eager to have it. Last year we spoke a lot on this subject of the obstacles, and I didn't want to speak so much about that today because we covered a lot of it last year, about the obstacles that obstruct us from experiencing the taste of the holy name. And we spoke quite elaborately on the various types of anarthas. Am I speaking okay? I'm going slow enough? It's okay. Tell me if I go too fast, because I have a tendency to speak fast when I'm speaking continuously. I think I baffled Arkady last night. I don't know how the other speaker in Estonian fared. It was okay. So I'm trying my best to speak slowly. Last year we spoke a lot about the various types of anarthas and how they obstruct our full experience of the holy name of the Lord. Yeah, giving the example of just like clouds and fog obstruct the experience of the sun. And the clouds were compared to be like the anarthas, and the fog was compared to be like ignorance. So we're not going to speak so much on that subject, at least right now, except that I wanted to share my realizations of the chanting that we had this year in Mayapur, and to speak a little bit also about Srila Tamal Krishna Goswami, who was the very prominent person to inspire many devotees to come and to take part in chanting. As most of you probably know, Srila Tamal Krishna Goswami departed from this world on March 15th of this year in Mayapur. I personally was present throughout this whole experience, and although I was not in the car, I was one of the first ones to be there after this accident that took place, and to have to deal with all the matters related to his departure in the association of some of my godbrothers. And for those of you who were there, I'm sure you saw that there was extremely deep expression of love for a devotee who had rendered so much service to Srila Prabhupada. Srila Tamal Krishna Goswami was a very, you could say, confidential servant of Srila Prabhupada. If I think of confidential servants of Srila Prabhupada, I actually cannot think of another personality who Srila Prabhupada entrusted more of his personal dealings to than Srila Tamal Krishna Goswami. so much so that he had him by his side constantly. In his final months on the planet, Srila Prabhupada was entrusting so much responsibility of his movement onto the shoulders of many of his followers. But Srila Tamal Krishna Goswami was right there at every moment. In fact, even once, he once described how he had been traveling with Prabhupada for, I think, about 9 months. And he was with Prabhupada every single day. Every single day, practically all throughout the whole day, continuously. At one time in Vrindavan, I think it was in September of 1977, 2 months prior to Prabhupada's departure, Srila Tamal Krishna Goswami, he decided that he wanted to go to Radhadhar Damodar Temple on one particular day. And Prabhupada was with some other disciples, Tamal Krishna Maharaj, just left to go for just a few hours to go to Radha Damodar Temple and just to go to see Srila Prabhupada's room, to see Radha Damodar, Srila Rupa Goswami's samadhi. And at that time when Tamal Krishna Maharaj left, Srila Prabhupada all of a sudden decided that he wanted to go to Govardhan. I think it was to Govardhan. And he said, so where is Tamal Krishna Maharaj? And he wasn't present. So Prabhupada got whatever disciples who were there available, and then he left. He went for some short time. I can't remember where it was. I'm sorry, I don't remember all the details. And when he came back, Tamal Krishna Maharaj had returned because he had only been away for a couple of hours. And Srila Prabhupada said to him, where were you? And Tamal Krishna Maharaj said, Srila Prabhupada, I just went to Radha Damodar Temple just for a couple of hours. And this was the first time he left Prabhupada's side in 9 months. The first time he just decided to do it. And that at that particular time, Prabhupada decided to go someplace. He noticed that he was gone. So he spoke some strong words to Tamal Krishna Maharaj at that time, and then Tamal Krishna Maharaj did not leave Prabhupada's side again after that one incident. So this is just an example. We can speak many different examples of how he was a confidential servant of Srila Prabhupada. That Prabhupada wanted him by his side continuously, and he even chastised him for leaving him for 2 hours once in 9 months. So, anyways, he was in Mayapur this year. He had come to Mayapur for the first time in 7 years. And he was very eager to be in the association of his godbrothers. He had been in Dallas, Texas for quite some time, or Houston, Texas. Where was he studying? I can't remember. Which Dallas? He had been in Dallas, Texas for several years, and then he transferred to England, where he stayed in Oxford, and where he was working on a doctoral thesis to establish the authenticity of Srila Prabhupada's teachings. He worked quite hard working on this thesis. As a matter of fact, first he had to get a doctoral degree with no degree, right? He was able to accomplish that in just a few short years. I think he was known as the top student in the university where he attended in Texas, in the history of the university. He had that reputation. So all the different professors knew of him, and his professors that he worked very closely with were very close with him, and he took that opportunity, of course, to preach to them. And in many respects, he had a lot of influence in their lives. And then he went to England, and as a matter of fact, he was just coming for a very short break to Mayapur. He was almost completed his thesis and he was going to defend it, I think, this year, in September. And but he took a short break to come to associate with his godbrothers, which, and he decided that what he wanted to do more than anything else in Mayapur, in the association of his godbrothers, was to chant Hare Krishna with them. This very, very eager for this. And as soon as he arrived, he went to various devotees and he requested them. He said, I would like to have kirtan in my room in the evening after the GBC meetings. Now, this is not a very easy task to accomplish, and I'll explain to you why. I'm sure Bhakti Chaitanya Maharaj knows why. I tried last year, actually, to try to get some of my GBC godbrothers to assemble to kirtan after the GBC meetings, and it was very difficult. Because after every day sitting in GBC meetings for 6 hours, sometimes a little bit longer, they can be quite exhausting. And usually after the meetings, everybody kind of retreats to their various quarters, rests, prepares themselves for the next day. Because the meetings are generally, they go for about 12 days continuously, and where all the GBC leaders come and discuss the various important issues for the society, for the devotees. So Tamal Krishna Maharaj was going to various devotees. He came to myself with folded hands and he said, Naranjan Maharaj, would you please come and chant in my room? And I was very eager to fulfill his request because I thought it would be a very wonderful opportunity to be in his association, of which I did not have that much for many years. I spent some time with him last year in Hungary during the Janmashtami festival. At that time, we had the opportunity to associate after many years of not being in each other's association. Tamal Krishna Maharaj was actually a great source of inspiration for me in my early Krishna consciousness. As Tridas Prabhu remembers, I'm sure, he was one of, for me, when I joined, he was one of the first sannyasis to come and spend a significant amount of time at the temple with Vishnujan Maharaj. And during my formative years of Krishna consciousness, the years of growing up as a brand new young brahmachari, three sannyasis had most profound influence upon me. They were Tashila Tamal Krishna Maharaj, Vishnujan Maharaj, who actually, by convinced me just simply by being in Boston chanting Hare Krishna, he convinced me to become a devotee. And Srila Satsarup Maharaj. These three sannyasis came and spent a significant amount of time in Boston when I was a very new devotee. So he had a lot of influence upon me then. Later he became my GBC. And I had the opportunity to associate with him during that time. And then many years separated us. So I was very happy to be in his association again. So he was going around and he was able to accomplish something which was quite profound. That every evening in his room, not only was the room filled with devotees, it's generally not so difficult to fill a room with devotees to chant Hare Krishna. But he was able to fill it with many godbrothers and GBC members as well. Present in his room were Bhakti Bringa Govinda Maharaj and Shivaram Maharaj, Radhanath Maharaj, and Brahmananda Prabhu was there practically every night. And Jayadvaita Maharaj was there. Bhakti Chiru Maharaj came on some nights. And the list can go on. There was at least 20 to 25 Prabhupada disciples in his room every night for kirtan. And when we came in, we would simply sit down and begin chanting Hare Krishna. And it started off in a very spontaneous way. It was not something that was planned. It just started off by his desire to sit and chant Hare Krishna with his god brothers. Many of them came, many other devotees came. Especially this year, there was a very large contingent of devotees who had come from Taiwan. And Srila Tamal Krishna Maharaj wanted them to get a taste of chanting Hare Krishna in the association of devotees also. So he invited all of them to come. And in his room, it was a very large room, generally about 100, more than 100 devotees would come every evening. And we would just simply chant Hare Krishna. I would come in every evening a little early after the GBC meetings, and Tamal Krishna Maharaj would sit and start talking about how this is the perfection. One night he said to me, he said, Niranjan Maharaj, he said, this is the goal of all of our service. I've come to realize this year, coming to Mayapur, being in all of your association, that everything that we're doing, the goal of all everything that we're doing is to come together and to simply sit and relish chanting the holy name of the Lord. And especially in such an auspicious place as Sri Dhammayapur. And he used to embarrass me, because practically every night when I would come, he would come and he would thank me for coming and chanting, leading kirtan. And he told me that he had a debt to me for coming that he could never repay. He must have said it to me at least 5 times. And he would say, how can I ever repay you for this? Please tell me, what can I do? And you know, I would just obviously fold my hands and say, Maharaj, there's no debt. I said, it's just simply, I'm the one who's a debtor because I'm giving an opportunity to render some service which is pleasing to you. So I'm very grateful for that. And he would speak this way not only to myself, but everyone who came in to take part. It was very sweet. Something very special. And many devotees were expressing this. They had not seen Tamal Krishna Maharaj like this. Tamal Krishna Maharaj is well known, especially amongst his god brothers, that sometimes he can be a little strong. As Jayadvaita Maharaj very nicely summed it up in Mayapur this year, he said, there's not a devotee in this movement who was liked and loved as much as, and at the same time, by the same devotees who had so many disagreements with him. Which is interesting for those who knew Tamal Krishna Maharaj, that was his nature. Because sometimes he would do things, if you read Hari Sari's diary, there's an example right there, Hari Sari's diary, volume 1, of how Tamal Krishna Maharaj completely disturbed all the temple presidents and leaders in America in 1975 and 1976 with Radha Damodar. I think it's a little bit of it is written in the Srila Prabhupada Lilamrita also. Anyways, it's a long story. If I start speaking about that, I could end up speaking for several hours, as I did a few weeks ago during his Vyasa Puja. We had a Vyasa Puja observation in Kiev, and I ended up speaking for over 3 hours reminiscing about a lot of these experiences. I wasn't on Radha Damodar, but I was heavily influenced by what was going on by Radha Damodar. Yeah, Trinidad Spiru was on Radha Damodar. He was one of the temple presidents who was stolen. Tamal Krishna Maharaj had a reputation of stealing all the devotees from the temples. Because it happened
Anyways, I'll tell it very briefly. Straight Ashwabu is here. He might like to add something. I was one of the ones that didn't go. I was firmly fixed at Radha Gopi Balava's lotus feet, and I said, no, I'm not going. And anyways, I think it was Tamal Krishna Maharaj left India in 1974 after being in India for 4 years. And during those 4 years in India, Srila Tamal Krishna Maharaj really sacrificed a lot for establishing Srila Prabhupada's movement. It was a very difficult time. Very austere. There was no temples. And Tamal Krishna Maharaj had to live very simply and austerely to serve Srila Prabhupada's wishes. He told one story once, and a very interesting story, which illustrates how he was prepared to do anything for Srila Prabhupada. That was one of his unique qualities. And he was well known for that. That he would do anything for Prabhupada. Now, there are many devotees who are prepared to do anything for Prabhupada. It's not that it was especially so unique that one would be prepared to do anything for Prabhupada. But the unique quality of Tamal Krishna Maharaj was he would do it and get it done. That was his quality. He was very capable. And when it was time to do something that nobody else would do, it was quite often you could hear, if you were in Prabhupada's association, Prabhupada would say, "Where's Tamal?" When something had to get done and it wasn't getting done, Prabhupada would look for Tamal Krishna Maharaj to get it done. And he did it many times. It was Tamal Krishna Maharaj who actually secured the land in Sridhar Mayapur. When other devotees tried to do it and couldn't do it, Prabhupada said, "Where's Tamal?" And he sent him to Mayapur. At that time, it was predominantly Muslims at that time, was it? Naxalites, a lot of them, Muslim farmers. It wasn't so easy to secure land at that time at all. But Prabhupada sent him there, and after some time and some struggle, he was able to secure land. And then one night, he was returning to Calcutta where Prabhupada was. Prabhupada was staying up late, waiting for him to return. Tamal Krishna Maharaj walked into the room, offered his obeisances. Prabhupada said, "Well," and Tamal Krishna Maharaj handed him the papers and said, "Srila Prabhupada, the land is yours." So he was prepared to do anything for Prabhupada. Whatever Prabhupada asked, he would do and get it done. And he told one story, an example. When Prabhupada first came to India in the early 70s, he had a vision for making life members. And he would send his devotees out to meet various Indians, influential Indians, to go and to appeal to them to give a life membership donation. And Srila Prabhupada wanted to give them in return his books, which he had just arranged to be printed in Japan. On his way to India, Srila Prabhupada came with Srila Tamal Krishna Maharaj. And it was in 1970. And arranged to have a very large scale publication of his books. Up until that time, Prabhupada's books were not published in a very large scale. They were published in Boston, I think, actually. in Boston we had a printing press. It was the ISKCON press. And that's where most of the early books were published. Right? Were you there? You came just after the press left, right? The press moved to New York in 71, right? Yeah, they had already moved, anyways. But the books were published and printed in New York. And not at a very large scale. But Prabhupada stopped in Japan with Tamal Krishna Maharaj. This is an interesting story too, actually. You know the story. He stopped in Japan with Tamal Krishna Maharaj, and he was met by a lot of the different high up people, high up in Dainippon, which was a Japanese company, printing company. And Prabhupada wanted to secure a contract with them to print a lot of his books. But Prabhupada only had $5,000. That's all he had. Which wasn't a very lot of money in comparison to the amount of books he wanted to print. Because he had this plan to bring a lot of books to India and to start this life membership program. So anyways, they were met by all these high officials of Dainippon. I think there were about 7 or 8 of them. They were brought into a room, and it was Prabhupada and Tamal Krishna Maharaj, who at that time was Tamal Krishna Das Adhikari. I think he was a Grihastha at that time. And first they exchanged words with all the different leaders of the company. It was very cordial. They asked if they wanted to have some tea and drink. So, but Tamal Prabhupada said, no, we'll take water. So Prabhupada and Tamal Krishna had water and they all drank tea and they simply socialized for a little while. Then they left one person to discuss with Prabhupada and Tamal Krishna Maharaj to negotiate a contract. And Prabhupada had it fixed in his mind that he was going to publish a lot of books and get a big contract. But he only had $5,000. So the negotiations began, and they were waiting for Tamal Krishna Maharaj to give his proposal, his quote. Was it Tamal Krishna Maharaj that gave the first one, or was it the Japanese man? I can't remember. Oh, no, it was the Japanese man who gave the first quote. And he quoted this ridiculously high price. I don't know, he must have thought that we were a very wealthy movement. And then Tamal Krishna Maharaj, he came forward with a quote that was ridiculously low. And when the Japanese man heard this, it was like, what is this? And as most negotiations go, usually what happens is somebody quotes a price, another person comes down with a lower price, another one comes down a little bit, he comes up a little bit. So the Japanese man was staying very high. It started to come down a little bit, and Tamal Krishna Maharaj was staying very low. And he started to just come up a little bit. And what happened is, the discussion started to get a little bit heated. A little tension was taking place. And Prabhupada decided that he was going to take the position of mediator. He planned this before they even went into the office. Tamal Krishna Maharaj had to do all the talking for Prabhupada. And after they got a little bit heated, Prabhupada said, this is not good. There should not be so much tension. He said, you should become, speaking to the Japanese man, and not so high. And he said to Tamal Krishna Maharaj, you should also, not so much, you should be calm. Should try to cooperate. do the best that you can. This mood is not very good. So Prabhupada took this position of mediator. And somehow Krishna Maharaj was the person up front, you know, like. And the Japanese man somehow, he took Prabhupada, accepted Prabhupada as a mediator. And they were very able to negotiate a very large scale printing of like 5 of Prabhupada's books, I think. It was Bhagavad Gita, Nectar of Devotion, Teachings of Lord Chaitanya. Hundreds of thousands of books at a very low price. And with only $5,000 to give initially. So that was something that Tamal Krishna Maharaj was able to accomplish for Prabhupada there in Japan. And then they went to India. And Tamal Krishna Maharaj, he helped Prabhupada establish the life membership program in India. He told one story how one time he went to a home of an Indian man. And he thought when he took sannyas, because at that time you could only take sannyas if you were not going to be involved in any management. He was the GBC of India with Prabhupada. But then he approached Prabhupada about taking sannyas. That's a long story too. I won't talk that one. And Prabhupada agreed after some time. So Tamal Krishna Maharaj was thinking that you had to give up all management, no more GBC. Which is the way Srila Prabhupada wanted it at that time. He didn't want the sannyasis to be GBCs. He wanted the householders to be GBCs. No sannyasis. Didn't want them to be involved in management. But as it turned out, after some time of trying that, Prabhupada had to have his sannyasis become GBCs. And for some whatever reason, maybe Tridas knows the history better than I do. But the householders were not able to live up to Prabhupada's expectations. But anyways, Tamal Krishna Maharaj, he thought he was going to be relieved of all management, but still he had to be the menial servant of Srila Prabhupada, even after he took sannyas. And he would go out and make members. So he told one story once, how he went to this Indian man's home. And at that time it was very, very hot in India. Extremely hot. He went and visited this Indian man with Garga Muni Swami. And is it Guru Kripa? Is Guru Kripa? Oh, I thought it was Garga Muni. Okay, Guru Kripa Swami. You heard him tell the story on that Matchless Memories? Yeah. Anyways, so he was welcomed into the home. The two of them were welcomed into the home of this Indian man. And generally what they would do is they would make a presentation about ISKCON. And they would try to make them life members, which at that time was 1,111 rupees. At that time, 1,111 rupees right now is not very much. But in 1972... it was a lot of money. So they made this whole presentation. They showed them the books. They only had one set of books so far, because all the books that were printed in Japan, they were shipped to India, and they were being held at customs because there was a strike. So all they had was one set of books. And they went around to all the life members and showed them this one set of books. So they said to this one Indian man, "So you would like to become life member?" And the Indian man said, "It's too hot." they never heard this excuse before. Huh? Huh? The tape I heard it on, he didn't say that. Okay. It seemed that the Indian man was drunk. So they had never heard this argument. You know, sometimes people says, well, it's too much. You know, or not now. Come see me at the office. You know, so many excuses, but it's too hot. Just didn't make sense. So they said to him, well, if you think if it's too hot for you, you're Indian. We have Western bodies. It's very hot for us. But still, we're coming. We want to see you. We're asking to please. It's not so difficult. It's not so hard to simply write out a check for 1,111 rupees. And I'm sure you can do it. So the Indian man said something like, you should cool off. It's too hot. I think you should cool off. So Tamal Krishna Maharaj said, if you write a check for us, we'll cool off very quickly. See, this so the Indian man said, he said, no, I think you should have a limca. Limca, a limca is soda, you know, like lemon drink.
Lots of sugar.
With lots of sugar in it. He said, but to cool off, you don't drink it, you just pour it over your head. So when they heard this, they said, it's kind of an embarrassing thing, you know, two sannyasis to take bottles of limca filled with sugar and pour it over the head. And they said, you know, this is not necessary to do this, poor. But the Indian man said, no, no, you should do this. It's very hot. And this will make you cool. And then maybe I'll write the check when you get a little cool. So he went to the other room and he got two bottles of limca. And he handed them to them. He said, so they said, can we drink it? That will also cool us off. He said, no. Over the head. So Srila Tamal Krishna Maharaj is describing that for Prabhupada he was ready to do anything. There's another example how he would do anything for Prabhupada. Because with this money they were getting for life membership, they were organizing huge pandal programs for Prabhupada. Sometimes 10,000 people would come at these pandal programs. Every night, 10,000 people, and Prabhupada would lecture, have kirtan, prasadam. This is how he wanted to establish the preaching in India at that time. So Tamal Krishna Maharaj just simply took the bottle of limca. They just...
They went over to the sink.
They went over to the sink first. And they just poured it all over their heads. Did they get the check?
Yeah, they got the check.
They
signed the check.
So, anyways, this is another story. Do you know some other stories from this time?
And those books that were blocked, that
he went and got them himself.
He had to go all over India, offices, and no one. They all told him it was impossible. Impossible. There was strikes, and it's very dangerous. Couldn't go through the line. Somehow or other, he went to all the different offices, and he was able to get them on the right day at the right time. He got them.
So, anyways. He was very special in many respects, and he was I can't remember why I started describing this pastime. I'll write it down in there. Huh? Oh, that's right. Yeah, that's right. We're going to get into Raja Dhammadhar. Actually, what happened was, just before he left India, I think it was in 1974, Tamal Krishna Maharaj got a hernia. Hernia? I forget the word. I know the Russian word for this. Huh?
Grija.
Grija. Yes? Yes, you know? Okay. And he was in Bombay at the time. And during that time in Bombay, it was very difficult. There was no temple. They had just a piece of land. One apartment on that land that Prabhupada was staying in. And the Prabhupada wanted to build a big temple there of Radha, for Radha Rasi Bihari. And there was a lot of fighting going on with this Mr. Nair, who was trying to steal the property. It's all explained in Leelamrita. Anyways, Srila Tamal Krishna Maharaj got a hernia, and he had to go to... He asked Srila Prabhupada, what should he do? Prabhupada told him that the only way to fix hernia is you need to get operation. So, he... somehow it was an arrangement made for him to get an operation there in India. He asked Prabhupada, should I go to the West or should I have it done here in India? So, it was arranged that he would get the operation done in the hospital in India. And he was taken to the hospital, and then he was described how he was put under anesthesia. They were giving him general anesthesia in the hospital for before his operation. And then, very quickly, by the time he counted to seven, he doesn't remember anything. Remember, he talked about his dream? Yeah. And then...
But Prabhupada didn't want him to have the operation.
He didn't want them. He came afterwards to try to stop him.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that's afterwards. Because at first he said okay. Yeah. First he said, Prabhupada said okay. And then, when he was under anesthesia, he had a dream. And in his dream, he's had a dream of Srila Prabhupada coming before all the previous acharyas. Bhaktivinoda Thakur was there, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, Srila Rupa Goswami. Prabhupada in his dream was coming before them, and all the acharyas were asking for Prabhupada for a report about his preaching in the world. And Prabhupada was standing before all of them giving his report. Do you remember what he said? I think he said something like,
they have no good qualities.
They have, he said, well, I am preaching on the earth or something like that. And the people I am preaching to, they are not very austere. He said also, they're not so intelligent. They're not able to really fully understand all the deeper meanings of scripture. He said, but they have one qualification. He said, they are all very eager to take shelter at my lotus feet. So, he remember having that dream while he was under anesthesia. And then when he came out from the operation, he was wheeled to the recovery room. And when he woke up, Srila Prabhupada was sitting right next to him. Prabhupada had come to the hospital because he decided that he didn't want Tamal Krishna Maharaj to get the operation. He thought that maybe it would be better for him to go back to America to have the operation. Prabhupada didn't want him to go back to America. Prabhupada wanted him to stay in India. He didn't want to lose him. because he was doing so much to help Srila Prabhupada. But after some thoughtful consideration, Prabhupada came to the hospital. He tried to stop the operation. But when he got to the hospital, it was too late. Tamal Krishna Maharaj was already in the operating room. So Prabhupada just sat there and waited for him to be wheeled out. And in the recovery room, he just waited and waited for him to come back again to external consciousness. And Prabhupada said to him, he said, I came to the hospital, I tried to stop this operation. But you are already in this operation, what could I do? So then Tamal Krishna Maharaj told him, he said, Prabhupada, I had a dream while I was in that operation. He described his old dream to Prabhupada. And he said, Prabhupada, is it true? And Prabhupada smiled. He said, yes, this is true. So after the operation, he was taken back to Bombay, back to the land. And there was no building. He had to go. He had to recover in a small metal shed. Shed, you know what it is?
Yeah.
Now in Bombay, in a metal shed, it's quite hot. And there was no place else for him to go, and he couldn't move anywhere. Couldn't walk. They just took him out of the hospital. They put him in a bed in the shed. Every morning, Srila Prabhupada would go out for his morning walk. And then he would return. And before going back to his flat, he would stop and sit and talk to Tamal Krishna Maharaj and try to encourage him. It was very difficult for Tamal Krishna Maharaj at that time, because all the devotees were going and they would hear Prabhupada's Bhagavatam class, but he couldn't go. So one morning, Prabhupada stopped, as he usually did every morning, and sat down in the chair, started talking to Tamal Krishna Maharaj. And Tamal Krishna Maharaj said, Srila Prabhupada, I was thinking maybe I should go back to America and preach. And Prabhupada said, what will you do there? He said, well, Vishnu Jan Swami is here in India. I could take him with me. We could go to America. And we could travel together, have kirtan, make devotees, and distribute your books. He says, I think I need to preach. He said, I've been here in Bombay for many months now. He said, I know practically all the codes, Bombay city codes, by heart, by memory. Because he was fighting for the land, and he had to learn all the different codes to try to fight the lawyers and fight Mr. Nair and fight everything. He said, I know all the Bombay city codes by heart. He says, but Bhagavad Gita shlokas, I don't even remember anymore. He says, I think I should go to America now and preach. Prabhupada didn't want him to go. Prabhupada actually, he wanted him to stay in India. Because, as we described, Prabhupada was so dependent upon him. But when Tamal Krishna Maharaj said, he'll go and preach, make devotees and distribute books, Prabhupada agreed. He said, yes, I think this is a good idea. He said, you and Vishnu Jan Maharaj, you should go to America and you should preach. So Tamal Krishna Maharaj, shortly after he recovered from his operation, flew to America and went to Los Angeles. And he was a new sannyasi, not many sannyasis at that time. And there were not that many sannyasis, especially traveling in America, I think, at that time. Very few. Well, it was Kirtananda, Tamal Krishna Maharaj and Vishnu Jan Maharaj with Tamal Krishna, and that was it, probably, right? I think there was, that was it.
Maybe Rupanuga.
Rupanuga, that's right. Yeah, Rupanuga. And the first place he went was to the Los Angeles Temple. And when he came into the Los Angeles Temple, he was shocked because he hadn't been in America for many years. He'd been in India for many years, where it's very austere and where it's very strict. Especially strict about brahmacharis associating with women. But when he arrived in Los Angeles, he saw that after being away for several years, things changed a little bit. He saw that a lot of devotees had gotten married. And a lot of the men, the brahmacharis and the women, they seemed to be associating a little bit more than they were associating when he, as he knew it. And in fact, he saw the following morning after he arrived in Los Angeles, he saw something very unusual. At that time, the devotees started what they called Krishna Bowl. Krishna Bowl. It was kind of named after a very famous show called, was it College Bowl or something like that? Yeah, no, it was College Bowl. Where college students from two universities, they would sit opposite each other. And they would be asked questions. And they would challenge each other to try to answer the question first and get more points. It was a competition. So they started what this called Krishna Bowl. And every morning after Mangal Artik, they would have this Krishna Bowl. And it was the brahmacharis against the brahmacharinis. Now here's Tamal Krishna Maharaj with his danda, with his wooden shoes, just taken sannyas, never seen anything like this before. So he turned to his brahmacharya assistant and said, "Let's get out of here." He said, "I don't see what good it is. I don't know if I'm going to be able to preach here." So he decided that he was going to leave with this one brahmachari assistant. They were going to go to San Francisco and just simply start preaching there. And the brahmachari assistant didn't even have time to get his japa beads. The japa beads were in some other room. Tamal Krishna Maharaj said, "No, let's go. I've seen enough." No suitcases, nothing. They went out. About 10 devotees. They left. They went to San Francisco. And they, Vishnu Jan Maharaj went with them and they started to preach. San Francisco is well known as like a straight Prabhu, I'm sure. He joined there. It's well known for its colleges and universities in Berkeley. I'm not exactly sure where they went at that time. They might have gone to Haight. Did they go to Haight?
I think they went to Berkeley.
They went to Berkeley. Yeah, they went to Berkeley.
Place for chanting.
And Vishnu Jan Maharaj was known as to be like, he chanted so sweet, such sweet kirtans. Prabhupada said that whenever Vishnu Jan Maharaj chants, he said, "I am immediately transported to the spiritual world." That's what he said about Vishnu Jan Maharaj's kirtans. So he had a way of chanting that was very, very, it was very attractive. It would just pull you in. In fact, as I said, he's one of the devotees who had the most influence on me on joining. Because one day I came to Boston Temple. I had been visiting a few times. What year was this? I wanted to know this. What year was it when Vishnu John Maharaj was there with Radha Damodar? Is it 72?
I think so.
72. Before he joined up with Tamal Krishna Maharaj.
In the road show.
With the road show. Yeah.
That was
it's like 1972. End of 1972. And Vishnu John Maharaj was chanting on the Boston Common. And I came and visited the temple, and the devotees told me, this is a sannyasi, he's chanting. Why don't you go see him? So I remember going down there. I remember, Trey, you were there, you were chanting with him. I remember you holding on to a galabjamin in your hand.
Was
and you were just holding it, like offering it to the deities or something like that. I remember this. It was you. You were there. Definitely you were there. And Mr. John Maharaj was chanting something, I can't remember, something completely so charismatic. And I remember just sitting in front of him and just chanting and just thinking and just looking at him. I couldn't take my eyes away from him. And I just said, after sitting for like about 2 hours, I just said, that's it. I have to become a devotee. At that point is when I made my mind up. It took a little while longer because I was a little entangled. Trey knows the whole story. But Vishnu John Maharaj was that kind of kirtan leader that he is so attractive. So Tamal Krishna Maharaj went with Vishnu John Maharaj and a few devotees to Berkeley, and they just started kirtan. And they decided they're just going to preach and make brahmacharis. In fact, Tamal Krishna Maharaj tells how, after just a few days, when Vishnu John Maharaj would sit and chat with a few devotees, and Tamal Krishna Maharaj would go out into the crowd and just start preaching. This is how Radha Damodar started, actually. The whole Radha Damodar party. So Tamal Krishna Maharaj would go out and he would meet people and start preaching to somebody. Just look for somebody. One day he sat down, he started preaching to one boy. Tamal Krishna Maharaj was a very, very forceful preacher. His logic was so sharp that if you sat down to talk with him, he would defeat every argument you could possibly come up. Right? Everybody had this experience. He would leave you completely defenseless. So that after being preached to for some time, you had no choice. No choice. You had to surrender. That was just the kind of preacher he was. Defeat every argument. No stone unturned, so to speak. So, he preached to this one boy and he convinced him to become a devotee right there on the spot. He went to Vishnu John Maharaj and told him, he said, Vishnu John, I have one. After some time they got a bus. They had the bus. It was just one. I'm not sure if I think it was just a small school bus at that time. And all the brahmacharis and Tamal Krishna Maharaj and Vishnu John, they were living on the bus. They weren't going to live in any temples. Temples, too much. Brahmacharis, brahmacharinis, Krishna bowl. Too much. We'll stay outside the temples. We'll stay in our bus. And they had the deities of Radha Damodar, I think, that Vishnu John Maharaj brought with him, I think. There's a whole story behind that one, too, I'll tell you.
It's a whole book. It's a whole book about it.
And so he went to Vishnu John Maharaj and said that I've convinced one boy, he wants to join us. Vishnu John Maharaj said, no room. bus is so full, how can we take any more? Tamal Krishna Raj was thinking, we have to think bigger. We have to expand. Prabhupada wants us to make a lot of devotees and distribute a lot of his books. So he said to Vishnu Jan Maharaj, he has $1,000 if he's ready to give it. So Vishnu Jan Maharaj said, oh?
The space is there.
Okay. He can come. So, that was their first devotee they made. And then gradually they started making more devotees and filling up the bus. And after just a few months, they had actually made many devotees, I think about 10, 12 devotees. And just after that, at that time, Srila Prabhupada had come to America. And he came to San Francisco. And he actually, in his mind, he intended to ask Tamal Krishna Maharaj to come back to India because he wanted him back in India. So, that was Prabhupada's mindset. So he arrived in San Francisco shortly after his arrival, he asked, where's Tamal Krishna Maharaj? So Tamal Krishna Maharaj came to see Srila Prabhupada. And Prabhupada was asking him, so what are you doing? And he said, Prabhupada, we're preaching. We're trying to do our best what you asked us to do. And then Prabhupada said, he said, I'm thinking that I want you to come back to India. I very much need you back in India. I need somebody to be GBC there. There's a lot of responsibilities. And Tamal Krishna Maharaj said, but Srila Prabhupada, we're making devotees. And Prabhupada said, oh? And Tamal Krishna Maharaj had previously made an arrangement. In the other room, there were 10 brahmacharis, all with freshly shaved heads, sikas, kanti mala, and had given each one of them a rose. And he asked Prabhupada, Prabhupada, can I show you? Prabhupada said, yes, you can show. So Tamal Krishna Maharaj opened up the door. And one by one, the brahmachari would walk in, freshly shaved head, with a rose, kanti mala, tilak, place a rose at Srila Prabhupada's lotus feet, full dandabats. They would get up, step to the side, next one would come, rose, dandabats. Next one would come, rose, dandavats, step to the side. 10 of them came. Prabhupada was sitting there, and all of a sudden a big smile came to his face. He was radiant. Tamal Krishna Maharaj says he was radiating. It's like it's fulgent. And Prabhupada said, yes. He said, this is preaching. You can stay. So, Prabhupada let Tamal Krishna Maharaj stay in America. And they gradually started their Radha Damodara bus party. Tamal Krishna Maharaj told one story. You know, they got the name Radha Damodara because when they put them on the bus, because they had this bus and they wanted to worship the deities, to move along in the bus, it was not very easy to bring deities along because the deities would bounce or they would fall over. Prabhupada gave them the name Damodara, right? But the Prabhupada was a Vishnu Jan Swami, do you remember?
I think Prabhupada.
Was it Kirtananda? Yeah? Uh-huh. Okay. So, anyways, In order to keep the deities from falling, they used to have to tie the deities with a rope. And they would tie them around the waist, again, to a pole. And then when they would travel, the deities would always be tied up. So they would be given the name that way. They were given the name Raja Damodar. Dhamal Krishna Maharaj, because Damodar was tied around the waist by the rope of Brahma's mother Jasoda. Dhamal Krishna Maharaj told one story. How one day when they were in Berkeley, the pujari was on the bus. He was offering artik to the deities. And some elderly couple, they walked by. And they looked in the bus and they saw the pujari waving a stick at the deities who were tied up.
It was a flame, a ghee lamp.
It was the stick and then the ghee lamp, both. They saw both, I think. They saw the flame. They saw the stick. They saw the incense. They saw a flame. And they didn't know what the deities were. And the elderly people looked in and they were shocked. Because they thought the pujari was physically beating and abusing two children.
Torturing.
Who were being tied up and tortured with a stick and a flame. So they immediately ran to the police. So the police, about four or five police cars came up. The police got out of the car. And two of them ran into the bus. You know, they thought this was it. You know, they were going to catch some abuse. They said, all right, where are they? And the pujari, you know, shocked. What? Where's who? You have two children tied up here. You're beating them with sticks. And you're torching them with fire. Where are they? So, Pujari didn't know how to deal with it. At that point, Dhamal Krishna Maharaj had to come on the bus. I think Dhamal Krishna Maharaj came on the bus. Because he saw all the police going into the bus, four police cars surrounded. So he went in and then he started to explain the whole thing. You know, that actually he opened the curtain and said, these are our deities, and we're worshipping them. And the policemen, after some time, they were convinced, they started to laugh. So this is one story Dhamal Krishna Maharaj told of the early days of Radha Damodar. Anyway, so this is how it started, Radha Damodar. And then gradually, they filled up a bus. And they would travel from place. When did they first come to Boston? They came to Boston very soon, I think, didn't they?
Yeah, I don't think I was there. I think Adikesha was there.
Adikesha was there. Anyways, I remember they came to Boston and they were having Harinam in Harvard Square.
I remember they came two or three times and they kept taking away to us.
And then, of course, at that time, when they had started to develop a reputation for stealing devotees. Because there was a certain mood in Radha Damodar, which was that if you stayed in the temple, it was Maya. And if you really wanted to be a brahmachari, be renounced, you had to travel and preach. So, I see you shaking your head, Rajana, but that was... I saw this all... He was preaching that at the time, but Prabhupada smashed it. And in 1976, that's when Prabhupada sent Dhamal Krishna Maharaj to China. There's a whole story about that one, too. So, anyways... They started to travel to all the temples and to convince brahmacharis to not stay in the temple. And I remember, it was like the second or third time. No, actually, Tamal Krishna Maharaj hadn't come. It was Adi Keshava that came. He came with Tamal Krishna Maharaj by this time in 1975, right? 75 when you left. 75. I'm sure.
76.
No.
75, and then I stayed 1 year until 76.
Yeah, 75 you left the first
76
time.
We went to New York. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
75.
So it was 75. Yeah. So by this time in 1975, the Radha Dhamma Party had started to grow quite extensively. And by that time, they had 6 buses, 40 vans, and about 150 devotees.
140 was the maximum total.
Yeah, 140.
Get up to. It was a little before that.
So maybe it wasn't. They didn't have that many at the time. Maybe yeah. So maybe it was a little bit less.
It was a year before.
But anyways, but I remember one morning. This is how this all started. Because I remember one morning, I was in the temple room. We were having Guru Puja. There were about, at that time, there were about maybe 20 devotees in the temple. And there were about maybe 8 of us, 10 of us in Guru Puja. And we were standing there. I think I was leading the kirtan. And the door to the temple room was open. And we saw, like, one by one. Because the temple room is right in front of the hall, right in front of the front door. If you look out the temple room, you see a hall. Sort of like this. And the Radha Dharmadhar party, one of their parties was in Boston. So I looked out the door and all of a sudden I saw one brahmachari, Bhakta Paul, I think it was. He had a suitcase and his bags.
Purusharta.
Huh?
Purusharta.
He went afterwards. he went first, out the door. Then I saw another brahmachari.
Brahmachari from the temple, not from the Radha.
Yeah, from the temple. This is from the temple. Yeah. Had a suitcase. His karmi clothes. Going out the door. And we're still like, aha prabhu koro daya deha mare parachaya. Then all of a sudden, the temple president, Trinash, suitcase.
if you can't beat him, join him. It took the whole temple away.
It took half the temple. They just disappeared. All of them. When Guru Puja was over, we looked at each other and we asked, what happened? Do you know where they all went? You know, we went outside the front door and you just like this cloud of dust off in the distance. They had parked the van around the corner. And they're gone. And, you know, we just kind of scratched our heads, you know. I think we just lost our temple president. Our Sankirtan leader. Who else was there? There was about 7 or 8 devotees.
I went off in a car
with Subodhi was gone.
Sri
Purushatha, huh?
I went in a car with Sri Ram.
Anyways, all we could do is just scratch our head. What do we know? And they said, well, maybe we should call our GBC. We don't have a temple president. And I was like a devotee, made brahmachari for about 2.5 years, maybe 3 years. And I wasn't in charge. You know, I think I was just. I can't remember what I was doing at the time. I was maybe distributing books. And anyways, that was what happened in Boston. But that was started to happen in every temple in America. And who was behind it? Our beloved God brother, Srila Tamal Krishna Goswami Maharaj. he decided that he was going, and he was distributing some, Radha Damodar Party was distributing more books than any place in the world. Prabhupada was satisfied. He was very happy when he saw the number of devotees that were being made. And he saw, you know, all the books that were being distributed, the BBT remittances, the money that was given to the BBT, book production increasing more and more. But then in 1976 was a very interesting year. 1976, that's when the whole Radha Damodar Party, I think it was a whole Radha Damodar Party.
80 devotees.
Oh, 80 devotees. All I remember is that I flew on the 747. We had an Indian Airlines flight from New York. And the whole 747 was...
All devotees.
Huh? All devotees.
Started
dancing. There's a small group of people, like about 20, 25 people in the back. Yeah. And besides that, there was a whole Boeing 747, which carries, what, 450
passengers? 400, yeah.
400 passengers. They were all devotees. We were flying to Mayapur that year. We had Mangal Artik on the plane. Devotees were leading it over the loudspeaker.
They started dancing.
Huh? We all got up. Were you on the plane too?
Yeah.
Yeah, oh, you were there. I couldn't remember if you were there or not. We started circumambulating inside the plane. Vishnu John Swami had his Chota Gaur Nitai deities up in the first class compartment.
But they started flipping out because the plane started going.
And the devotees were up dancing in the aisle. They were glad to. And all, you know, we're trying to get the plane to bounce. And all this Radha Damodar Brahmacharis were on the plane. Like Revati Nandan Swami was there, Vishnu Jan Swami was there. Who else? I can't remember who else. And then we had Srimad Bhagavatam class over the loudspeaker. Revati Nandini Swami gave Srimad Bhagavatam class over the loudspeaker for all the devotees. And anyways, a very large contingent of Radha Damodar devotees and of devotees from America were going to the festival in Mayapur in 1976. But also present on that flight, or maybe a little bit early, were a lot of temple presidents from America.
Up in arms.
Those who are still left.
Was the only one.
Not Tredas, he was already in Radha Damodar.
He was the only one that took ship.
Did you put saffron on at that time? Saffron. Anyways, we will talk about it. You can talk about it yourself if you want.
It was an ecstatic year, definitely.
So, anyways, all the temple presidents that were left, they were very disturbed. They went to Srila Prabhupada, and he started complaining about Radha Damodar. Saying, Srila Prabhupada, you established temples as places for devotees to go out and distribute books. How can we preach if all the brahmacharis are being stolen and going to Radha Damodar? You know, so they were very, very disturbed. There was a lot of details. I'm skipping some of them.
There was a whole controversy about brahmacharis.
Yeah, there was a very big controversy that year about brahmacharis and grihasthas.
They're going to ship all the women and women to Australia. Leave America, only brahmacharis.
I never heard that. So, anyways, Tamal Krishna Maharaj describes, he knew there was controversy going on. All the temple presidents were complaining. And one morning, Srila Prabhupada sent Trivikram Swami to go get Tamal Krishna Maharaj. And Tamal Krishna Maharaj was a little worried. Uh-oh, what's this about?
No, you're jumping the...
Huh?
You're jumping the story.
I missed something? Well, what did I miss? Tell me.
Because the day before, it had come to a head.
Oh, and he said Prabhupada...
He said, I guess I'm just making such a mess. And
the day before, he was talking with Prabhupada. And he heard all the complaints. And Prabhupada said, Jamal Krishna Maharaj said, Prabhupada, I've caused such a disturbance. What should I do? Maybe I should go to the moon. Maybe I should go to China. What should I do? You know, Prabhupada didn't say anything at that point. Jamal Krishna Maharaj was feeling really, you know, like he had really created a big disturbance. He said, there's no place for me on this planet. Maybe the moon? Or at best, I should go to China. You know, but he said that, you know, jokingly.
Like going to the moon.
You know, to China. Who would think of going to China at that time? It's an expression. Why don't you go to China? At that time, it was just an expression. So the following morning, Trivika Maharaj came and told Jamal Krishna Maharaj. Trivika Maharaj, he said, Prabhupada wants you. And Jamal Krishna Maharaj was a little bit worried because at that time, I guess Trivika Maharaj was preaching in the Orient. So he's thinking, uh-oh. Did Prabhupada take me seriously? So he went to Prabhupada's room and he came before Prabhupada, offers obeisances, and he was waiting to hear what Prabhupada had to say, right? So then Prabhupada said, so?
That's a good idea.
I think you should go to China.
No.
And Tamal Krishna said, Prabhupada, China? I was just joking. I didn't mean China. Would you send me to the moon? China? Prabhupada said, no. Krishna was speaking through you. You should go to China and preach. Tamal Krishna Maharaj didn't want to accept it so quickly. Although he was usually very quick to accept any quest Prabhupada made, he started to offer his arguments. Prabhupada, 6 buses, 40 vans, 140 devotees, so many books. Prabhupada said, so? You will not go to China? He said, therefore, I will take away everything. You have no more service. You can stay here in Mayapur and simply chant Hare Krishna. You have nothing now. When Tamal Krishna Maharaj heard that, he realized. He said at that point, he had to surrender.
He said, Guru Kripa was in the room and he said, I'll go.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, Guru Kripa was there saying, I'll go.
Prabhupada said, no.
Prabhupada said, no. You must go. So when he said, but Prabhupada took everything away, Tamal Krishna Maharaj realized, he said, I'm doing everything for Prabhupada. Now he's taking everything away from me. I have nothing. So he said, immediately at that point, his mind was relieved. He just accepted it. If Prabhupada takes everything away, what do I have? So at that point, he just accepted it. So then he was told by Prabhupada to go back. I think he came back to America for a short time because he was at GBC in 76.
Yeah. In New York, he came to New York.
He came to New York.
Because they had tried to, but they couldn't
he tried,
do
but
anything.
He couldn't get into China.
But he couldn't do anything.
It took many years. I think finally after 4 years, it took him 4 years before he was able to get in for his first time. Something very interesting that I discovered. I'm skipping over a little something now. I wanted to speak a little about our kirtans in Mayapur, so I'll get back to Mayapur for a second. And as I said, we had very wonderful kirtans in Tamal Krishna Maharaj's room in Mayapur. it was, as I was saying, it was very spontaneous. Because it started because Tamal Krishna Maharaj invited devotees. And very soon it became like the most talked about event that was going on in Mayapur. You know, people everybody knew what was going on, Tamal Krishna Maharaj's, the kirtans in Tamal Krishna Maharaj's room. And devotees were trying to squeeze in. Devotees would stand in the hallway, stand out on the veranda. Everybody was long line. Everybody's trying to force their way in to take part in these kirtans. And it was real interesting. Tamal Krishna Maharaj, during the GBC meetings, you could see his mind was really absorbed in the kirtan. And during the GBC meetings, no matter what discussion was going on at the other end of the room, somebody would be giving some presentation. Every GBC meeting, every day, Tamal Krishna Maharaj would look at me, catch my eye. As soon as he caught my eye, he would go. I don't even solve it. Every day. Which meant, so you'll be there to chant kirtan tonight in my room? That's what it meant. So I would just take my hand. Very humbly. Yes, Maharaj, I'll be there. And I could see he was just completely absorbed in these kirtans. So, the kirtans just continued every night. More devotees would come. And they would go on for a few hours. And then we would end maybe about 9:30, sometimes 10, and go take rest. And then the kirtans were becoming so popular, we decided to move them down into the temple room because it was just more, so many devotees wanted to come. So we arranged for having the kirtans in front of the Panchatattva altar in the temple room. We set up the harmonium, microphones, and devotees would come and sit, and we'd just chant. And we did that on the evening of, after the GBC meetings were over, on the 13th and the 12th, the 13th and the 14th. And then on the morning of the 15th is the morning that Tamal Krishna Maharaj was leaving Mayapur. He left very early that morning. I think it was around 3:30, 4 o'clock, something like that. And then around 5 o'clock, there was a phone call from the other vehicle that was going behind them. The devotees were frantic. They were saying that Tamal Krishna Maharaj, there was an accident. The vehicle had hit a tree. And Tamal Krishna Maharaj was removed from the vehicle unconscious. And the devotees were frantic. So Govinda Maharaj came into the temple room and made an announcement and asked all the devotees to please offer a prayer for Tamal Krishna Maharaj's safety. And then several of us, I think it was Jai Pataka Maharaj, Jai Dvaita Maharaj, Shivaram Maharaj, Govinda Maharaj, and myself, we jumped into a vehicle and we went to where the scene of the accident was. We don't need to get into the details. Govinda Maharaj has written a full account of everything that had happened. But needless to say, Tamal Krishna Maharaj had departed from this world. And it was a terrible, terrible shock to the devotees present, to the devotees throughout the whole movement who so much loved him. And it had a very sobering effect, as I saw in the minds of many of the senior devotees. I spoke to many God brothers who said something very similar every time I spoke, because they were realizing how painful it was to lose the association of a dear God brother. And they were saying that they realized that they didn't take full advantage of his association. And they were saying they didn't want the same thing to happen. I remember Indra Dumna Maharaj called me in America. We were speaking to him several times on the phone. And he told me that this year he has so many plans to travel with God brothers. He said, I don't want to suffer again like I suffered with the departure of Tamal Krishna Maharaj. I want to be in the association of my God brothers, and I want to take full advantage while I have this opportunity to associate with them. And many other God brothers were expressing similar sentiments, that Tamal Krishna Maharaj's departure actually, in one respect, was a shock and very difficult for us to deal with, the loss of such an exalted Vaishnava and dear servant to Prabhupada. But it also had a very uniting effect, as I saw throughout the whole movement, that more and more devotees became more deeply united. And they were oftentimes talking about these kirtans in Mayapur, remembering the kirtans, and remembering that the real nectar, as Tamal Krishna Maharaj spoke about so often, saying that this is the fruit, this is the goal of all of our service, is to come together with like-minded devotees and to relish this chanting of Hare Krishna and the association of devotees. So I'm hearing such many similar expressions from God brothers. I just spoke to Keshava Bharati Prabhu, who was in Dallas at Srila Tamal Krishna Maharaj's Vyasa Puja. Many God brothers went there. And he said that everybody, all the senior Prabhupada disciples, all said the same thing. He said this was the deepest, deepest event that they had ever experienced in this movement. And for many, many years. That deepest meaning that the feelings of unity. And of course the kirtans. And the remembrances of Srila Tamal Krishna Maharaj and the appreciation of him. So he served in many ways, both during his manifest presence and after his departure, to help unite the devotees in service to Srila Prabhupada. And I mentioned there was one incident in connection with China. I said just a few minutes ago that after Srila Tamal Krishna Maharaj's departure, many, many devotees were wanting to get recordings of the kirtans in Tamal Krishna Maharaj's room. And especially his disciples. And he started to look for people who recorded him. There were not so many recordings made, for whatever reason. Not so many recordings. And many of them were coming to me, asking me, did you make recordings of these kirtans? I said, I was chanting, I didn't make recordings. Do you know somebody who made recordings? No. So I decided that I wanted to take it as a service to Mal Krishna Maharaj's disciples to find some recordings. So one day I began looking for anybody who might have made some recordings. And there was this one person from Taiwan who had used a simple tape recorder. And he had recorded most of the bhajans. And I asked if I could borrow those tapes. So Eka Chakra, who was the temple president of Taiwan, said, well, we're all leaving tomorrow morning, very early. So I said, well, give them to me. Somehow I'll get them copied and get them back to you by tomorrow morning. So we made some arrangement to get them from the tapes recorded onto the computer. And one devotee in Mayapur did this all day long, just recording them. All the tapes that this boy from Taiwan had. And then afterwards I listened to, I saw that it was one recording. And it was a recording of a small talk that Tamal Krishna Maharaj had given on March 13th in Srila Prabhupada's room. In this talk, he had gathered all the devotees from Taiwan. They were there in Srila Prabhupada's room. And it was a very casual talk. He spoke for about 15 minutes, that's all. But in the talk he was saying, so this is where Srila Prabhupada gave me the instruction to go to China and preach. He said, Prabhupada gave me that instruction before his departure. He said, now I'm bringing all of you here before Srila Prabhupada. And I'm offering you to him. I fulfilled Srila Prabhupada's order. He wanted me to go to China and to preach. Now you all belong to Srila Prabhupada. And I fulfilled his order that he's given to me. That was on March 13th. He made that statement. And on March 15th, he departed from this world. So I thought it was very wonderful that I was able to discover that little recording. And I can understand that Srila Tamal Krishna Maharaj was such a very confidential servant of Prabhupada that he fulfilled everything Prabhupada had done for him here in this world, that Prabhupada wanted for him to do for him in this world. So, for whatever reason, Prabhupada wanted to take his confidential servant back with him. He had some more service for Tamal Krishna Maharaj to perform someplace else. So, there's a little bit about Tamal Krishna Maharaj. A little bit about our chanting in Mayapur. And it's a little bit about what Srila Tamal Krishna Maharaj really wanted to emphasize to all his god brothers. In the just days before his departure, he really wanted his god brothers to come together and to relish, to take full advantage of that most wonderful experience that Srila Prabhupada had given to us in the form of chanting the holy names of the Lord. And this is a little bit about my experiences in Mayapur this year and the importance and the fulfillment in many respects of the hankering that of wanting to be in the association of devotees and simply chanting these holy names. I wanted to speak a little bit tonight. I didn't plan to do this, actually. This was kind of spontaneous. I was going to speak about something else, about chanting, about internal and external chanting, how we can benefit both internally and externally by in the mood similar to Lord Chaitanya, who came for both internal and external reasons, for in his distribution of the holy name. But maybe we can speak about this tomorrow night. And we can stop here.
You know, I didn't know Maharaj very much to our Krishna Maharaj. I knew him a little. But one devotee who happened to be present at a very sort of extraordinary time with Maharaj a couple of years ago told me this story. On the Sunday after Maharaj passed away, I was in Singapore and we had a program there. So a couple of years ago, one of our other senior devotees, Mahavishnu Goswami, he's an elderly Indian bodied devotee. A few years ago, two or three or four something, he had a serious heart condition, and I think it was a stroke. Anyway, it was a very serious, a very serious heart condition. Just suddenly came on him and it looked like he might quite possibly pass away. It was also during the Mayapur time, Mayapur festival meetings time. So Tamal Krishna Maharaj, this happened in England. Tamal Krishna Maharaj was there in England doing his studies and things like that. So one day he came over to the hospital to visit this other devotee, Mahavishnu Goswami, and encourage him and like that. So Mahavishnu Goswami was saying to Tamal Krishna Maharaj that, you know, Maharaj, I think I'm leaving. I think I'm going. I don't think I'll come through this. And Tamal Krishna Maharaj was saying, no, no, no. You'll be all right. Krishna's looking after you. Like that. And Mahavishnu Goswami would then reply, no, you know, the way I feel, it's deteriorating, and I really think I'm going. I'm going now. And Tamal Krishna Maharaj would respond that, no, no, don't speak like that. So this went back and forth a few times, and then Tamal Krishna Maharaj became a little more insistent. No, no, you're not going. Then Tamal Krishna Maharaj said, I want to go first. I want to be there to meet all the devotees when they come in. Krishna. There are only three people there, Tamal Krishna Maharaj, Mahavishnu Goswami, and the secretary of Mahavishnu Goswami, who's from Singapore, and he told us. So that was really quite something. Maharaj, he was saying, no, I want to go there. I want to be there and meet all the Vaishnavas and welcome them. So, looks like he lived up to his word, perhaps. Hey, that was it. Yeah. Wow, there's so many things, but it's okay. Srila Tamal Krishna Goswami Maharaj Ki.
Arjuna is asking me to chant this melody that was Tamal Krishna Maharaj's favorite melody. But this thing about his favorite melody came from me. I mentioned it in Mayapur. But I'm not sure if it was his recent favorite melody. When Tamal Krishna Maharaj was my GBC in 1976, we are doing an installation. He was installing Shishi Gornitai in the Boston Temple. And we were having an Abhishek in Kirtan. And Tamal Krishna Maharaj asked me to please chant this particular melody. No, actually what happened is I started chanting a particular melody. And then just after starting it, he came over to me in his stern way and said, don't chant any other melody for the whole Abhishek. So I just chanted that melody for about an hour and a half, 2 hours, continuously. And then afterwards he said, that's my favorite melody. So that was in 1976, though. So I don't know if it's his favorite melody in 2002. But in 1976, it was his favorite melody. So that was a melody. You want me to chant that melody? Is that what you're asking? You probably know that melody. I've chanted it before. Huh? What's that?
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Sri Rama, Hare Rama. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Hare Krishna,
Siddhanta Swami Maharaj, Sri Prabhupada ki. Jai Vishnupada Paramahamsa Varavarakacharya Stara Sata Shri Srimad. His Divine Grace Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada ki. Ananda Kuta Vaishnavinda ki. ISKCON founded the Chai's Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada ki. Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur ki. Premzi Gaho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasudeva Gaura Bhaktavinda ki. Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gopa Gopinath Shyam Kundvara Kund Kiri Govardhan ki. Shri Vrindavan Dham ki. Navari Mayapur Dham ki. Gangamayi ki. Gangamayi ki. Vimanmayi ki. Tulsi Devi ki. Bhakti Devi ki. Sankirtan Yajna ki. Shri Harinam Sankirtan ki. Samaveta Bhakta Vrinda ki. Go Premananda. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Shri Guru Hanuman.